Hey, this is McDougal, and you're listening to the That Much Further West podcast.
Hey, welcome back into That Much Further West podcast. I'm Eric.
I'm Mike.
And you just heard a song off the new album from McDougal, Reaching for the Light. That was Rhodes.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, McDougal.
Welcome, how are you? Scott. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Excuse me, Reaching for Some Light. I apologize. Hey, welcome in, Scott. Thanks for being here on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a real treat. We just saw you at Wildwood a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, always a good time there, right?
Yeah.
Your fourth appearance there?
I think so, yeah. We talked about that.
Because we're counting that that first one that nobody was at.
Yeah, then
The side stage at the Rocks there, right?
Right.
Yeah. You and Charlie Parr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, that was probably a great night, huh?
It was. It was super cool.
Charlie Parr, awesome. Yeah. And he's done it a couple times.
Yeah. Awesome. First couple of years he was there.
Yeah. Any highlights from this year, Scott? Anybody you saw that was really standing out to you?
Well, I really dug the Tillers show last night. Played with them in Mississippi Studios here in Portland, and they, yeah, that was super good.
Nice.
And I think the other show that I saw that really made me listen was the Hill Dogs at the Wildwood Festival.
Oh boy. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, I'd seen their name around a lot, but I had not heard the music yet. So.
Oh.
That was a good introduction.
They've grown quite a bit over the past couple of years.
Gotcha.
Like, I mean, the first time I saw them, I wasn't super impressed, and I hate to say that because now I'm kind of friends with some of them, but now definitely.
We've had this conversation with them, actually, right? Because you can see the talent in them, and you can see the hunger, but they're also just, like, young and being,
being young and dumb and in their
early
20s. Yeah,
right, which you're like, oh, I'm all of a sudden that guy going, you shouldn't do that. You got all this talent. And you're like, wait a minute, I totally was that same butthole when I was a kid, right? But backstory though, that was a really fantastic redeeming show for them. They did Wildwood, you know, technically year one, which was the second one, and
no, year it would have been year two,
whatever.
Yeah,
there were some moments, right?
Yeah.
And he was on the program here a couple weeks ago, and he's like, I'm coming in, I'm redeeming myself, and he's like, you know, like Rocky doing the whole comeback thing, and they slayed it.
Yeah, that's good.
Slayed it. I was just floored. I mean, the band is really just top notch.
Yeah.
Right now, so on their game. So yeah, I agree. That was really a super highlight of the weekend. I would also like to say the Clouds were also a great highlight for the weekend.
That was really nice.
Oh my god.
The low temperatures were a beautiful thing.
High of 79. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Last year those numbers were inverted.
Yeah. Been pretty brutal. Scott, this album just came out. How are things going with that?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to tell. Yeah. It's going fine.
Good. You're doing a lot of shows right now. Fun seeing you playing with a lot of great people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a good summer so far. And
which number album is this? How many is this?
It's like 7 or 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends, you know, if you count the very first one that I did or not. I don't know. It's the seventh that's available.
we'll call it that one.
How would you feel that this one differs from your other ones? Because to me, it seemed a considerable difference than the other albums I've heard.
Yeah, I might have pushed it a little too far even. I don't know. But this one's been like a learning, this record. It differed in a lot of ways. One is I would previously approach albums more trying to portray more what I did on stage. And so being that I do like the one man band thing, they tried to keep with that. And then, you know, a little extra instrumentation here and there. But this one, I just sort of let myself go and say, I'm not going to think about genre and I'm not going to think about instrument limitations. I'm just going to do whatever's in my head. And so it kind of ended up all over the place. I think I might've confused some people a little bit along the way, but,
I felt like it was the first album that a full rock band could play.
Yeah.
Like, you could take it and you could give it to a rock band you could be like, hey, here's some songs for you guys to play, as opposed to the ones before where it was kind of more like the one-man band type of situation or what you would create on stage.
Right, right. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think it sounds great.
Thanks.
I think it's, I don't think you went too far. I think you took it just a smidge over the line and said, hey, I'm just going to do this different instrumentation added in.
Yeah.
But it's still McDougal. It's definitely
still,
you know, you and your songwriting style. And
nice.
But yeah, just the extra added instrumentation is just like, oh, it's like, oh, a little bonus here. Right?
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Cool.
Seriously. Awesome. Yeah. You planning to tour behind this a lot coming up here in the near future?
No, like, official tours per se. I mean, I'm playing every weekend, 2 or 3 shows a week through the summer. So, I mean, I'll be playing a lot, you know, just around the region, you know. But and I am going down to Long Beach Folk Revival Festival
in
California in September. That'll be fun, too. But
September? You know the dates on that?
It's usually like
the 17th, 16th, 17th.
Right. Cool.
Weekend. But, no, like, tours per se. Kind of actually jumped right back into the recording thing. Oh, yeah. So I'm trying to, I'm going a few different directions.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
You get into flying around, and you're like, it seems like you do write quite a bit. Your albums kind of come out a little quicker than most people.
Yeah.
You kind of always writing something. Plus, kinda. You have all these side projects going. Like, it just seems like you're always...
I'm trying to.
Yeah?
There was a couple years there where I started to just relax a little. But especially since I've had more space to record recently... Mm-hmm. It's just kind of opened that door for me. So now I'm just trying to kind of focus on that right now. And I've got a lot of, I want to develop McDougal ideas more, but then I've also got a lot of other, you know, like side project stuff and, going through my head and then, you know, just different things that I want to get out. So
cool.
I'm trying to focus on that a lot.
Cool. And with the last record you just put out, where did you record that at?
My house.
Yeah.
Apartment actually.
All right.
Yeah, we had a little apartment down in downtown Vancouver for about a year, my wife and I, and so just sort of recorded it in the back room there when the neighbors weren't, you know, when they were at work,
right.
You know, kind of thing. And cool. Then I would do the drums. I'd go up to my brother's house and use my nephew's drum kit. So they'd clear out of the living room for an afternoon or whatever, and
right.
I'd kind of figure out the drum part that I wanted to do, and then... you know, get that down as quickly as possible.
Right.
But yeah, so it's kind of those two different spaces. And then John Burbank did the mixing on it. He did.
Handsome John.
Handsome John, yeah.
Did you play all the instrumentation yourself? Or
I did, with the exception of the violin on one song was played by Anna Tivel.
Okay. She seems to be the go-to
who?
Anna.
She's amazing.
Go-to violin who? Person.
Yeah, she's very talented.
Yeah, super talented. She's doing great right now too. I'm really proud of her. So and with the new recording you're working on, is there? Yeah. Do you feel good after the album? You were saying, you know, maybe you went too far and people don't understand.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure things out.
Yeah, you're just kind of bouncing around. Yeah.
You know, the three shows I did for the record release, I did them with a full band. It was still wasn't exactly what was on the album. It was kind of like a rock interpretation, you know, of the album. But I also did those shows doing the one man thing, what people generally see.
Yeah.
And it's just I kind of learned through those three shows that the difference in people's reactions and stuff, you know, to the two different kind of styles. And I think in some ways I learned, like, well, I don't know. Like, people were super, super into and energetic with the regular one-man band thing. And then when we did the full set, it was kind of like step back and kind of look and like, all right, you know. But I think, yeah, I pushed it a little bit further or a little bit different direction than a lot of people were expecting or whatever.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out which parts of that I want to continue with and then which maybe were, you know, I want to – because, like, I'm going to start putting out some stuff, too, I think, just under – I don't know, my first and middle name. I don't know. Something else where I can just sort of get further away and not alienate people who are used to what McDougal is, you know, right. And stuff like that. So, but anyways, it was a learning process. Like, it kind of, some of the songs are just not that folky kind of stuff at all. And so, and there's not a lot of the kind of traditional banjo sound on it. And so I know that kind of weirded some people out, but I don't know.
Well, should we hear one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott, you want to play something for us?
Oh, yeah. All right. Gotta get that harmonica holder over the headphones. Let's see if I remember all the words to this. I don't play it a lot, but... Were we consumed by our consumption as we struggle to climb mountains of assumption, avoiding our reflection in the water as we drank, our minds busy like the crew on the boat before it sank. When we consider the birds and the flowers, we realize what we carry is not ours. And worry never added any number to our steps. And we did not climb higher by gazing down into the depths. On the night that your soul is required, will it matter if you've been hired? Will it matter if you've been fired? And all their onsets, and walked wearily into countless sunsets. But when we looked up at night, could we smile on what we'd done? Did we just watch from the sidelines, or did we get out there and run? In the very moment we feel that we need sleep, maybe a moment of our lives someone else needs. And the hardest it ever is never as hard as it can be. When placed upon the scales of all eternity. And the night that your soul is required, will it matter if you've been tired or got all that you desire? Children day by day, should we believe they are naive for not trading that away? And on the night that your soul is required, we'll be right back.
It's a great song, Scott.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, pleasure.
Before we got on the air here, I was asking you about where you had grown up, and you were saying L.A., which I did not know.
Yeah.
Were there influences from growing up in that area about where your music's coming from now, or is that something you picked up further down the road when you moved here? Or because, I mean, I don't hear your music and think L.A.
Yeah, sure. But, yeah, it's weird because, well, I mean, that's where I got into it all, starting mostly with, like, punk rock. And then later on, I kind of saw how a lot of the old-time and bluegrass stuff was kind of like punk rock, but, you know, acoustic and maybe a slightly higher level of talent, but in a lot of cases. But yeah, it was very similar. A lot of, like, hollering choruses, you know, and just fast and three chords kind of thing. So I started getting into that. And then some friends of mine, I started putting on a show once a month called the Old Time Ruckus Review. And it was just like a collection of bands that would do it every month. And it would be like two songs at a time. You'd come out on stage, do your song, and then run off, and then the next band would come out, and you'd kind of rotate throughout the night, and then people would join each other. And through that, I met a couple, this guy Ben and Gal Kelly, and they were into, like, the old-time string band kind of music in particular. So they got me into that. They also got me into bikes, and both of those things are what ended up bringing me up to Portland. That's... I had some family up here. My brother had moved up here previous, and I was able to transfer my job working on bikes and come up here, and I just thought it was like great town because lots of bikes and lots of old time and whatever. So, yeah, definitely a good place for it. But, yeah, I really got into it from down there. I don't know.
Yeah, not something you would place L.A. with.
Sure.
Portland for sure, but
yeah.
So when your songwriting process, like, are you lyrics first, harmony or chords first? Like, how do you get about it?
It's different just about every time.
Yeah.
Now that I have the ability to record at home, I do a lot of writing kind of starting from the ground up. Maybe I'll even just start with a drum beat or something like that, and then kind of go from there and do the lyrics last. Sometimes it's like lyrical ideas come into my head first, and then I'll put music under it and... Yeah, all over the place.
And then you have your instrumentals, too. Do you find sometimes you're just running with something and you're like, well, that just stands by itself, or how do those come about?
You know, lately, those just mainly come from messing around, you know, until you kind of stumble upon something that sounds good, and then you kind of start building on that. Recently, I was even messing around with some of my current banjo tunes and then just sort of improvising kind of off of that and then seeing where that led, and I ended up kind of coming up with some new stuff from that even. So it's like, I don't know, it's just you got to find your way into it some way or another, but yeah, that's never really the same process either. So,
and do you prefer, because you do have some side projects where you do stuff with other people, do you prefer the process by yourself, or is it just a completely different animal when you get somebody else involved in it?
Yeah, well, it depends on which kind of thing. Like with the Brothers of the Last Watch, that would be something. I mean, we haven't done that in a long time, but that was something that John and I, you know, we'd get together and really hash the songs out. You know, more recent stuff I did, like this project called Marching Sons, was kind of like a folk metal project. And that one, I just wrote all the parts, and then I found a couple different people that I was hoping would be into it, and then basically sent them the demos, and then they kind of learned the songs and added their own, you know, little bit to it or whatever, just their style. And then we just got together and recorded, and, you know, there wasn't any of that collaboration. But I like them both. It's a little easier for me to work by myself, and I have a lot of ideas, so, like, that's a really exciting, fun process for me, especially if I'm recording the ideas, because I love, like, just coming up with a part and then playing that back and then picking up a different instrument and hearing what that can bring to it, you know, and, like, I can just sit there for hours, you know, doing that kind of stuff. But at the same time, there's just something about when you and another person get together or a group of people and just that collaborative effort. I mean, you come up with something that none of you could have done on your own. And that's a really amazing feeling too. So I don't do that as much, but yeah.
What was the first instrument you learned?
The drums.
Yeah, it started out in drums?
Yeah.
And then where'd you go from there? You were like, oh, this is great, but I want to learn more.
Yeah, well, when I my folks got me a drum kit when I was 8, just little, like, kick and snare and hi-hat kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that was pretty awesome. Then I basically, when I turned about 13, I met a friend at school, and we started jamming together, him on guitar and then me on the drums. And then he also bought a bass, so then I started messing around on that. And that's kind of when I started, you know, I had an acoustic guitar at home, but I didn't know much. You know, I played like single notes on it or something. But I started borrowing like his bass or his guitar and stuff, and kind of got into that. And then later on, my family moved over to a different part of LA, and I met a few friends at church, and they were punks too. And like before that, I didn't really know any, you know, punk kids, you know, and I had just gotten into it at 13 at this local record store I used to go to. The guy got me into it and showed me all this stuff. But so when I found them, definitely started jamming with them. They had punk bands and stuff. And that's when I started picking up the guitar and the bass a lot more, and then actually starting to write songs, and then even think about trying to sing something. That to me was something that was way far off, but I kind of ended up starting to do it by necessity, just to, yeah, have the band. But
should we play another song off the album?
Yeah. It looks like we're going to play the track Cut Loose from McDougal's new album, Reaching for Some Light.
Enjoy. We'll be right back.
think everybody cut loose on that one. Great song.
Thanks.
Upbeat. Again, I love it. You know, I love you slipping these songs that are just, you know, you expect them. He's going to start singing any second now. Nope. He's just ripping it. And you start off most of your shows like that too, right? Like every time I see you, I feel like you come out with a...
I always start with an instrument.
Yeah. Here I come.
Gets me warmed up. And
warmed up, right?
Gets the feeling going, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
Okay, so we've all kind of talked about this quite a bit over the past couple of years. And that's Skinny Dougal. Because, and I mean, there was nothing wrong with the old McDougal, but you lost quite a bit of weight. And
I did.
I remember the first time I saw you was at the barn when Possessed by Paul James showed up or played, and I didn't even notice you at first. You were like, "Hey," and I'm like, "Who is this guy talking to?" And I'm like, "Oh, hey, it's McDougal."
There was this secret 6 months where nobody saw him, and then he started walking in crowds. People were like, "Who's that guy?" But it's true, man.
You look great.
Thank you.
Yeah good on you. Yeah. Big change. Man, yeah. At Wildwood, I was like, McDougal's here. Where? He's right over there. And then you turn sideways, and I'm like, oh, there he is. That's good. Good for you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I stopped drinking. That was the biggest.
I'm sure that's a huge thing. That's a huge one. Yeah.
But
I just don't know if I had that sort of dedication.
Yeah. It wasn't easy. I guess I had some unexpected perks.
Yeah, good for you, man. That's a really positive thing. So, super cool. You do have some gigs coming up, right, here in the near future?
Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier. You got the Dalles coming up.
I got the Dalles.
Right.
Yep.
What's the name of the place there?
River Tap. It's a little like restaurant bar out there.
Cool.
And I do a few hours of music out there sometimes.
Sometimes. I go out there and play sometimes.
I do. A few months.
What about beyond that?
Got a lot of stuff. Actually, pretty full summer.
Uh-huh.
I'm blanking right now, of course.
I put you on the spot.
But
sorry.
Yeah. But everything's on the calendar at McDougalmusic.com.
Perfect.
And I try and keep that up to date as well as I can.
Cool.
But, the one I'm kind of looking forward to far off is that Long Beach Folk Revival Festival. And there's a few regional festivals I'm playing up here, too, that should be a lot of fun. So.
Fantastic.
The Long Beach one, they always put together a pretty good bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked on this year.
Excellent.
Last year was rad, too. I mean, I didn't go, but it looked good.
On paper, it was really sweet.
Yeah, it was real, real awesome.
Well, let's talk about the influence songs you sent us.
Okay.
All right. We always ask the guests that come in, can you send us like 3 songs that kind of were influential to you for whatever reason?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be anything. So
I gave them a lot of time to think about this. at least
really
an hour.
It was, 20
it was good that you didn't, though, because otherwise I would have totally overthought it.
Yeah, right.
Just quickly
write
them down.
Great. It's this, this, and this.
Yeah, exactly.
And you came up with Tango Till They're Sore. Tom Waits, Wednesday Night Prayer Meeting, Charles Mingus. Great song, by the way. I love that.
Nice.
And Sailing On by Bad Brains, which I think might be the first time we'll do Bad Brains on this show.
Possibly, yes.
Fantastic. Thanks for picking that.
Sure.
Do you want to talk about any of those and what they meant to you? And then we'll play through them. And what was there a period of time that all of these hit you at some time? Or...
All different times.
Sure.
Yeah, the Bad Brains was definitely something I was into way earlier. Mm-hmm. And the whole punk rock part of what I've done has really influenced a lot of like the kind of high energy I try and put into a lot of the McDougal music. And so I figured that was a good kind of, and that band is like the epitome of high energy punk rock. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so that was the first thing. Tom Waits was something that came later. In fact, I didn't really like him when I first heard him. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And then I saw a movie called Down by Law that he was in. And there was like this kind of first scrolling scene of this neighborhood. And they played the song Jockey Full of Bourbon, I think it was playing. And I was like, who is this? This is a good song. And he's like, that's Tom Waits. I'm like, oh, wait, all right, I dig it. I got that Rain Dogs album, and that's what really turned me on to him. But, I don't know. There's so many ways that his music has been influential. I mean, So yeah, he just does his own thing, and it's awesome. You kind of realize that you can break the rules if you want, right. You know, if you're willing enough to do it.
Right. People are listening.
Yeah. And and then the Charles Mingus, that's something that came this last year. A few years ago, Raleigh Tussing, who used to be here in Portland, he's now back in Michigan. Awesome dude to hear. So good. And I used to play with him in town, and he introduced me to like early jazz, like hot jazz. And before that, I wasn't really into any jazz, but I was like, oh, this is great. And just because, again, it's sort of that high energy, you know, cut loose kind of thing. And then, but I just could not get my head around like modern jazz stuff, and I couldn't find my way into it. You know, I kind of wanted to like it, but, and recently my nephew showed more interest in playing jazz drums. He was kind of playing rock drums before that. So I was like, maybe I should just, you know, buckle down and like listen to some stuff, and, you know, cause I'd like to be able to kind of connect with him on that. And just, I'm like, if he's digging it, like there's gotta be something, you know? So, and Charles Mingus was the one that just like opened the door for me. I mean, I can't even been able to find anything like him per se. If someone's got ideas, please tell me. But, like his two albums that I really awe him, and, Blues and Roots are like super good. And, yeah, great, great way. And that is also then now, sorry if I'm rambling, but, just kind of changed a little my perspective, even my live show. And I do not have jazz chops by any means, but like I've been letting myself go and kind of improvise new ideas and songs in the middle of set, you know, in the song, and just trying to kind of go with the feeling more and not feel so structured all the time. And it's just really changed my viewpoint, and it's made my live shows so much more fun for me. Like, because, you know, when you're playing 2-3 times a week, it can get easy to just sort of like strum the chords and sing the notes, you know, but so it's kind of brought a lot of life back into it for me, got me excited about it. So
nice. There's a lot of tie in that with people are talking about, you know, people are using that. If you're a music person, you can hear that correlation between even the jazz and the metal. You know, you were talking about the, mm-hmm. the metal recording you were doing, so I'm sure there's some influences back there too, but
yeah,
with the changes and the tones and all that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, Mastodon came out with an album years ago that was very, if you put the metal to the jazz formation, it was almost like tied hand in hand.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. And you get enough influences around your life, you start getting that same stuff. I remember I was doing jazz in high school with band, right?
Yeah.
But our teacher was into more.
Sorry, I just had a picture of you in a band uniform. Made me laugh.
Dude, but, you know, he was, like, playing the modern jazz stuff, too. So I'm with you. But then, you know, all of a sudden somebody's like, this is Miles Davis, you know. And that opened up the door to Mingus and all the other people for me, too. So I totally get it, right? There's this magic out there that just really touches you.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Yeah. So I was listening to that today after we put it on. I was like, yeah. Exactly. So pretty excited about that. So we're going to run through these three songs.
Cool.
And give everybody a vibe of some of the stuff that influenced you. And we're going to start off with Tom Waits.
Well, you play that tarantella, all the hounds will start to roar. The boys all go to hell, and then the Cubans hit the floor. They drive along the pipeline, they tangle to their sore. They take apart their nightmares and they leave them by the door. Let me fall out of the window with confetti in my hair. Deal out jacks of bed on a blanket by the stairs. I tell you all my secrets, but I lie about my past. And send me off to bed forevermore. Make sure they play my theme song. I guess daisies I have to do. Just get me to New Orleans and paint shadows on the pews. Turn the spit on that pig and kick the drum and let me down. Put my clarinet beneath your bed till I get back in town. Let me fall out of the window with confetti in my hair. Deal out jacks or better on a blanket.
send me off to bed forevermore. Just make sure she's all in calico and the color of a doll. Wave the flag on Cadillac Day and a skillet on the wall. Cut me a switch, oh, hold your breath till the sun goes down. Write my name on the hood, send me off to another town. Then just let me fall out of the window with confetti in my hair. Deal out Jack's a better on a blanket by the stairs. Tell you all my secrets, but I lie about my past. Will you send me off to bed forevermore?
Thank you.
I love it. It's just so
kind of an island ending.
Yeah, exactly, right? So perfect. Great choices, Scott. That was a ton of fun. I loved the entire time we were here. Everybody was just
Talking about their about influences in jazz and all sorts of great stuff. So everyone's on their phones typing in notes for later on.
Yeah. Mingus. Have you heard of this band? Fun stuff. Thank you, Scott. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. We'd love to hear another live song from you, actually.
Okay.
What do you got? What's the name of the next tune you got?
I was going to do a kind of a slow banjo song called Broken Wheels.
Cool. We're going to let you play that right now. Thank you, Scott.
Enjoy.
Beside a stone engraved with the name Sue, I said, I'm not sleeping here, I ain't dead like you. But I sail into dreams of distant foreign lands and cold granite mountains, warm golden sand. Ain't got no broken wheels, ain't got no home, ain't got no reason not to roam. Well, dawn comes more swift than thieves in the night. My bike has been replaced with the morning's light. It shines through my window, through the bars of steel. closest that I'll ever come to what a free man feels.
Beautiful.
Thank
cool
you.
Song.
Thanks.
Thank you, Scott. That was a lot of fun.
I'm having a good time myself.
Cool. If you don't mind, we're going to take a little time out to talk about some of the music around town this next week. So on the 3rd of August, Jason Bolin and the Stragglers with the Tumblers at Mississippi Studios. I thought that was at The Wonder.
No.
Okay. I'm confused. Fernando with Sarah Jackson Holman at Revolution Hall up on the roof deck. On the 5th, the Low Bones, Joshua James and the Runaway Trains, and Rubella Graves starting to come back and play at the White Eagle Saloon. Casey Musgraves at the Crystal Ballroom, and Cody Canada and the Departed at Mississippi Studios on the 7th. I'm going to talk about one more. On the 10th, Hardworking Americans with Mother Hips.
Nice.
That'll be a great show. Ton of fun.
Where's that at?
Revolution Hall.
Huh.
Cool.
Nice. Todd Snyder and company.
Yeah. Lots of fun. I wanted to ask you, Scott, especially on your early albums, I hear a lot of influence with religion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that stem from, you mentioned earlier in the interview, growing up and going to church and meeting some other punks.
Yeah.
Did you go to church growing up with your family? And
I did.
Yeah. So yeah. Did I, yeah. There was a lot of that influence there.
My dad was a pastor. My grandparents were pastors. And all missionaries, too.
Yeah.
So, I grew up with that. And that's where I first played music, too. When I first started drums, I'd play in church with my mom. And and then kind of went on from there. And I even still do it recently. We play together sometimes, and not drums anymore, but
cool. Probably.
Grew up with that, and anyways, it's been a big part of my life for sure.
Right.
And it still is, yeah.
Good, fantastic. I'd like to segue into that a little bit with you sent us a song that you wanted to play off one of your early albums, Ramble. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Yeah.
So we're going to play that right now.
Cool.
All right.
Enjoy.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord Sunday, leaning on the everlasting arms.
That was quick.
Yeah.
It's a short tune.
So we had one of, again, we had another one of those moments where we went off the air and we got a fantastic story.
we do that often. And you can never recreate it back on the air after.
But I know, but I have to go back and just say, so what Scott just told us was is that the lady singing with him on that song was his mom. Right. And how wonderful is that? And then, take it from there. You were talking about how the band you were in LA at the time made an album with her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then...
She's played accordion since really early on. And, she used to make these, like, homemade records with her parents. And they used to travel around and play. And when she was about 60, at 60, we started recording our own stuff and everything, and we're like, all right, we should do an album with her and do some favorite tunes. And we put one out, and it's got some of those tracks from those early records that they made as well as the stuff we recorded with her. So it's kind of fun, sort of a get a little feel for the whole thing.
But that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, she's an awesome accordion player. So.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fun. Super cool. Scott, do you got one more in you? We'd love to hear another song.
Sure. Yeah, we'll do a banjo. Faster banjo tune. We're saving up the fast stuff for later. Thank you.
We're going to need a couple minutes to put that banjo in some water.
It's on fire.
Because it's on fire. Fantastic. Whoops. That was great, Scott. Fantastic.
Thanks.
Real talent, man. Thank you. And thank you for being here. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me so
yeah,
much.
Man. Yeah. We're big fans, so it was a real pleasure for us. So, and boy, we hope to always keep seeing you at Wildwood in the near future.
Yeah,
always
so
a good
too.
Time. And
it was kind of strange, like when we first started this podcast, not as a podcast but as a live show.
Yeah.
When I was running the Hawthorne.
Yeah.
You were around, like, it seemed like we saw you all the time.
Totally.
And then when, you know, obviously I left that job, and you know, it's like didn't see you hardly at all. You know.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like now you're, with the new record and stuff, you're kind of back on the radar, and it's really great to see you. And see you playing out again a lot lately.
I feel like
and
I'm resurfacing on a social level these
days.
Yeah, it's
so positive. That's a real positive, man. Thank
and I think
you.
If I may, one of the things I took from this whole process with you today is that the connection, I think, between really talented musicians nowadays is a love for all types of music. Like you pull from all sorts of influences, like your influence list is really great. You talked about your punk background, your church background, you know, all those things. And I think this makes for such a well-rounded type of musician, whereas I feel like a lot of people growing up today probably are going to miss out on that because everything seems to be so, like, well, I'm into goth, and I only listen to goth, or I only listen to metal, or I only listen to that type of stuff. I just hope the kids out there are listening, and they get to, you know, they get to learn that listening to all sorts of things really helps your musical talent.
Totally.
And you know, and your knowledge definitely makes for a much better experience.
Yeah, super well-rounded. I agree.
Yeah,
I agree with that statement fully. Scott, thanks again. As always, you were saying we could always find you at mcdougalmusic.com.
Yep.
Perfect.
Facebooks and all that. And
yep.
Right. So, seriously, you know, we'll say this about all the people we love on the show, but go see this guy live. It's always a treat.
It's definitely an experience.
It's a great experience, and you're definitely one of those people that handle that one man band thing with ease, but yet so much like, oh my God, he's killing it up there, you know. So
thank you.
Always enjoy it.
You and Conrad are on a pretty good level up there with
big time. Yeah, big thanks. Time for sure. So everybody, Scott McDougall, thanks again for being on the show, and go see him live, and we'll be back here in a couple of weeks with somebody else and having some good times. And as always, in the in-between weeks, we'll play some music for you that we're listening to and hope you like. Go see live music. That's always what we want to tell you.
Yes.
Supporting them supports everybody. So, and we're going to go out right now.
Enjoy.
Thanks again.